With Amex Platinum, you can enjoy access to dedicated card member entrances at select events, because skipping the line makes you the star of game day. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Card member entrance access not limited to Amex Platinum card.
It is, Edward, that it is. Not the happiest time of year yet. We're getting there. It's Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. Mark Zeno in for Amber Wilson alongside Ian Fitzsimmons. Tell that smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. And that's what you hear. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call online, 888-SAY-ESPN. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and we are knocking on the doorstep, Ian.
There we go.
Say it with me.
The Kennesaw State Owls catching a big number. That's a tud. We are in. We have a lead, ladies and gentlemen. We are degenerates. We love it. We embrace it. Zeno came at the start of the show 2 hours ago and drops a hammer saying, give us tonight, bet to your hands bleed, Kennesaw State at 0-6 against Liberty, 5-0. We'll take the points, plus 26, steamed to 27.5. We live bet the damn thing at 24. Why? Because we couldn't get enough of the Kennesaw State Owls. And here we are, 21
about to go up 21-14 in the third quarter.
In the third quarter, Mark Zeno.
You, how the mighty flames are a mad scientist.
God bless you.
They have been extinguished. Look, Liberty has played one game in the past 23 days. Like, football isn't a sport you get better at by not playing it, right? So that was the biggest part of the handicap.
You're also looking to pay for World Series tickets. So let's be honest here.
That too.
Right?
But this wasn't the largest investment I needed to get there, that's for sure. Because any large investment on Kennesaw State is probably a bad one. A good investment is on the Kansas City Chiefs as they march on to what looks like their third consecutive Super Bowl appearance. Here to join us, talk about the move they made today, Soren Petro, Sports Radio 810 in KC. I'd love to talk to you about K-State, Kansas, but that's probably not really – what you're here for, Soren. So we'll talk about DeAndre Hopkins instead. Very, very relatively cheap price tag, conditional fourth, right now a fifth, depending on if he plays and they get to the Super Bowl. What's the general feeling around this? To me, it gives me that like Julio Jones to the Buccaneers, to the Eagles type feel where it's a name, but it's not the same player.
I think that's completely fair. I think that's probably the best way to look at it. I think that's how Chiefs fans should look at it. And then if he's better than that, be pleasantly surprised, but don't hang your hat on you're getting vintage DeAndre Hopkins. You know, a couple of years ago when he was on the free agent market, I talked with some folks over at One Arrowhead Drive, and, you know, there were some big numbers being floated around. He didn't end up getting the kind of numbers that were being talked about. I think it was just his agent trying to, you know, drum up, interest in him. But one of the guys said to me, like, do you know us to spend a lot of money on a guy that doesn't create separation? And that was 2 years ago, right? So now he's 32 years old. Now times are different. Like, we didn't know the Chiefs to want Kareem Hunt on their team when they cut him after his incident that happened a few years ago. But suddenly when they're down a couple of running backs and they're trying for a third straight Super Bowl, desperate times call for desperate measures. And I think that's a little bit of what this is. I don't think they feel like they're getting a number one wide receiver. I think they know what they're getting, but they are in desperate times. Hollywood Brown went down. Rashee Rice went down. Now Juju Smith-Schuster went down. They need a veteran presence, to really kind of balance out the lineup, and they couldn't afford some of the other guys that were out there, so this one works.
What impact does it have on the locker room, though, every year when you see it, you know, 2 years ago, last year, this year, adding to the roster in a place of need, what impact does that have on the room?
I think it's a positive. I mean, I think the biggest impact is, you know, what does it have on the locker that has number 15 above it? I think that's the most important part. And listen, everything's hunky-dory between Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Clark Hunt and Brett Beach, you know, the power structure. He's one of them, coach, owner, general manager, quarterback. You need all those people on the same page, see what's going on in New York with the Jets and other problems. And that's one of the things I think they do a really good job. And so the locker room, you know, in 15 we trust. You know, Chris Jones has been kept around. Even at 30 years old, he got a huge contract. So I think the locker room was in good shape. I don't know that the whole locker room needed this move, but it doesn't hurt. Let's be clear. It's not a negative. I mean, it's the organization saying we're going to spend some more money, we're going to spend some draft capital, and we're going to try to make sure we do everything we can to win this third consecutive championship.
But what I meant by that question is, you know, just to me, if I'm in that room and every year our front office, our coaching staff are adding to our team, that just kind of reinvigorates me. If I'm in that
room. And I think it does. I think you're absolutely right. But I think, you know, the bigger, I guess my point was that, yes, it does, but I think they also, having Patrick Mahomes on your roster and having Andy Reid as your head coach, I've talked to a lot of players who will say, listen, all we want is a coach to make us better, right? If you'll make me better, I'll run through a wall for you. And they have those things. I think you are right. Like I said, it is a positive for sure. And it's a statement that they're not just saying, look at all the money we're making with how good it is to have Patrick Mahomes on this roster and be the biggest show in the NFL right now. We actually do want to win. And I think you see that permeate throughout the building. Andy Reid, I don't think, goes to bed on Sunday nights when we do our media session with him on Monday. He's still leading by example by being up, breaking down the tape all Sunday night. Patrick Mahomes is trucking guys at the goal line, but it's a touchdown that matters. I mean, I think all the big boys in this organization do the things that you want them to do, and they lead by example. And this is another one. This is Clark Hunt saying yes on the money. This is Brett Beach making it work with the draft capital. And I think it is. It certainly will be a positive for this team throughout the rest of this year.
Again, Soren Petro, Sports Radio 810 in KC. I have to ask you the question here because each of the last 2 years, since at least Tyreek Hill has departed, you know, Patrick Mahomes' numbers have taken a considerable dip from what we are used to seeing. Now this year it's 6 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. Is it fair to say that he's not making any of these receivers any better, or is it the receivers are not making Patrick Mahomes have these gaudy numbers we're used to seeing?
Yes, I would be my answer. I think both are true. Yeah. I think when he first got in there with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce at his prime, Sammy Watkins was a very expensive third option, you know, that could still really stretch the defense when he had his 5,050 touchdown MVP season that really put him on the map that first year. They had an abundance of weapons. They also had a 1-1 at left tackle, and they had Mitchell Schwartz, who they stole from the Browns in free agency. They had a great right tackle. And it's not just the receivers now. They let Tyreek Hill go. They haven't really been able to find that guy. Rashee Rice was becoming that guy. He was going to be an exceptional receiver this year for them. And when he gets back, I think the numbers will look better. And that's why the numbers got better in the second half last year once he got into the rhythm of things. But tackle's also a question. They've had a couple of different guys playing left tackle this year. Juwan Taylor was the most penalized player in football last year at right tackle and had some issues. They've got a great guard to guard, and that gets a lot of pub, but it's hard when you don't have the best left tackles. You know, they got Xavier Henry to run deep routes, and they don't know that they can protect Patrick Mahomes long enough to send the ball down the field. So, you know, they are a flawed team for sure, and the guy they asked to cover it all up is 15, and Patrick Mahomes usually does it. And I think the game last weekend, you know, a lot of people probably just saw the stats or they saw some highlights. When you watch that whole game, you realize 44 passer rating, and I love the ESPN stat of QBR, and 80 QBR. Like if you look at the passing numbers at the end, the traditional passing numbers, you're going to look at it and be like, wow, that wasn't very good. If you watch the game, and then you look at that QBR, when they needed a first down, Patrick Mahomes scampers for 33 yards on a cutback run. When they needed a first down, he found the receiver. He found Kareem Hunt on a dump off to get it there. You know, they did the things it took to win and ended up winning by double digits. And by the way, you could somewhat call the 49ers last touchdown a bit of an oh by the way touchdown. They did. If they got a two, they could get another touchdown and a two, and maybe they were still in the game. But really, Kansas City dominated that game over the 49ers. And Patrick Mahomes, one of his interceptions was batted at the line of scrimmage. The other one, his receiver fell down. So he's probably, you know, gotten a few kisses on some interceptable balls that weren't intercepted. I think he's probably gotten a favorable, you know, flip of the coin in that throughout the course of his career. This year, it's not. It's kind of leveling out, yet he's still finding ways to win games, and they're still 6-0. So it speaks to his ability to make the plays when it really does matter.
What does it speak to the culture of that team where Steve Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, and that defense don't care that they don't get a lot of credit?
You know, and they're – listen – well, Steve Spagnuolo, making $5 million a year as the highest-paid coordinator in football, is getting the credit where he really deserves it, his bank account, right? And some people are writing stories now about, you know, he should be the first assistant coach as a Hall of Famer since he's won more Super Bowls as a coordinator than anybody before with two different franchises. So there is some credit finally coming around to him. But you're right, overall, it's still all about Patrick Mahomes. We led this conversation, you know, with Patrick Mahomes, and they're the number 10 yardage defense and the number 5 points allowed defense, and they've played, I know a week ago was, or a couple of weeks ago, was the toughest schedule by DVOA that anybody's played this year. I think it's now ranked the third toughest schedule defensively, just based upon the offenses they played. Yet here they are, again, back in the top 10, and I would say that they're probably going to be top five in both before the year is over because they are great. Now, they did lose Jalen Watson, who's not a big name, but he's done a great job stepping in for L'Jarius Sneed, and he's now done what looks like for the rest of the year. And so that's going to require them to be even better. Dave Merritt, their defensive backs coach, deserves a lot of credit as well. I think he'll be a defensive coordinator next year or the year after. He's got a young son that he has said he doesn't necessarily know that he wants to move around, but he did interview for the 49ers job this last year, and I think he'll get some looks as a defensive coordinator next year. But Steve Spagnuolo's been absolutely fantastic. I mean, players call him the OG. They love playing for him. He does a great job with the schemes. When everybody else is playing coverage, he's blitzing and creating a lot of problems. He's just been absolutely what you'd want if you're Andy Reid, a guy that can just handle that whole side of the ball.
Appreciate the effusive praise for Steve Spagnuolo, Italian-American. It is Italian-American Heritage Month here in October. Soren Petro, Sports Radio 810 in KC. Appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
Always my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Amber and Ian, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive offers a great price and round-the-clock protection when bundling home and auto. It's one of those rare times you can save money and get something great bundled today at Progressive.com. We still have a 21-14 lead for the Owls.
Kennesaw State, 0-6, Kennesaw State. Still doing it. Oh, no.
I mean, Fitzy, I bet you didn't know that it was Italian-American Heritage Month. I bet you didn't know that. But
I had no idea.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know, as a good fella.
Never dreamed it.
You know, I feel like we're really underrepresented, you know, Italian-Americans. I feel like there's not enough of us to get in places of prominence, which is why they put me here next to you. This is prominent, and it is prominence. You know what else is prominent? Big deal. No,
21-17 right now is prominent. Kennesaw State over Liberty. That's
that
prominent.
Too. It's all next. It's Amber and Ian on ESPN
right
Radio.
There.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/network.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and money lines, all from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Oh, yeah. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM channel. Tell those smart speakers, play ESPN Radio. Tell those smart speakers, go Kennesaw State Owls.
Oh, now. Catch Come 27. On. 26 Come on. At one point. 24 live wager.
Liberty Flames,
and a half at
undefeated Liberty Flames in danger of being extinguished by the Kennesaw State Owls.
On ESPN night, Bet right now, hey, you're still catching points. Come on with it.
What is the line on ESPN Bet right now?
I have to go to the live wager. I haven't looked at it.
Plus 7.5? I would assume it's plus 7.5.
Our commercial break conversation, shall we say, distracted me from looking at live wagering or anything else. So What does a sock on the door mean?
We're not doing that on the air. That's an off-air conversation. Thank you very much.
Look at Zeno is just he's dropping his headset and falling out loud.
That's a good.
I'm just here, Mark, so I don't get fined. Okay, thanks, Marshawn. Right. I mean, dear Lord, I ain't been here that long. I ain't trying to get out that quick.
Let's just move on here. Yeah.
I will say this much real quick though. You know, the quality of our in-break conversations, yeah, I mean, it's a good thing I'm a rule follower because, you know, the stuff that comes out of my mouth in break is not even remotely
never,
close for
ever,
for
ever.
Ian's not any better.
Oh, okay, I really am not.
There we go.
Kennesaw State right now, live wager, wow, +3.5. So if you would have listened to the start of the show, Zeno gave you Kennesaw State +27.5. We went live wager 15 minutes into the show, +24. Right now, you're only getting 3.5. Zeno, that's value, coach. Come on.
I try. Every now and then I find some decent spots to work with. But, yeah. Again, Liberty had played one game in the last 23 days and hadn't beaten an opponent all year by more than 18. And I was catching a bad number at 26. And you guys got 27.5? Man. We got about 20 minutes of football left, about 5 minutes left in the third, or 4 minutes left here in the third quarter. Kennesaw State is the ball, so we'll keep you. We keep all you Kennesaw State Owl fans abreast of what is going on.
All of you, all three. Got you.
All right, time for Big Deal, Not a Big Deal.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
And me, James Steele.
Yeah, there you go.
Right there.
So this
I love how we're updating Kennesaw State nonstop. And we have NBA games going on. We have NHL games going on. And what are our sorry butts doing? We're updating nonstop Liberty and Kennesaw State. There we go. James, back to you.
Mm-hmm. And there are Sports Center updates. So
there we go.
Doug Brown's probably updating those NBA scores every half hour or so. Bucks are up 82-65 on the Sixers in the third.
Look at you being responsible.
The Nets and Hawks are tied at 77.
How much time is left in that game?
Is it 2 or 3 minutes in the third?
All right, good. We need both of those teams to be at 80. I got over 222.5.
Yeah, but a little less than 2 minutes in the third quarter. And the Hawks just went up by 3, so there's your 80.
All right, I'd love 85. Can I get that?
We can root for it.
Thank you.
I'm not a miracle worker. I can't control.
We're not begging here.
All right. This tweet
Somebody has to pay for World Series tickets, right? Game 3.
That's
Sorry,
right.
James. Go ahead.
This tweet was from Nick Harris, who covers the Cowboys for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram a little bit earlier today. Cowboys kicker Brandon Aubrey has been selected to be on a 12-person jury for a felony case in the 297th District Court, a source has told him. Hmm. There's not a clear timetable for how long the case will last. So, yeah, big deal, not a big deal. Brandon Aubrey looks like getting called to jury duty.
Is the felony the amount of money that Jerry Jones is robbing from fans by not providing a title? Is that the felony charge?
Unsure of the felony
gotcha.
Or who it was committed by. Allegedly committed
hey,
by.
You know what?
I learned that from Amber.
Kickers are people too. Actually, they're not. You're asking the wrong person. I believe kickers are the worst humans on the planet.
If
Hamas, Taliban, and a kicker were on the edge of a cliff, I'd push the kicker off. Okay.
As a Matt Prater uni right above my shoulder.
I do not care.
Right.
You will
so
never
much
convince
for the rule
me.
Following there.
They are the worst humans on the planet.
Answer the question or not?
Oh no, not a big deal. Kickers okay. people too.
Thank you. I think Jerry Jones can find a way to stroke a check to get his kicker out of jury duty. Not a big deal.
Sorry, James. Go ahead.
The Panthers are going to have to go back to Bryce Young. He'll start Sunday against the Broncos. Because Andy Dalton sprained his right thumb, and at best will be the backup. He sprained it in he was in a car accident. Ian, big deal, not a big deal. Panthers going back to Bryce Young.
To me, not a big deal because they've already ruined the young man, and he needs to get the hell out of Carolina. I don't think that Frank Reich wanted to play him last year. I don't think he was ready behind that sieve of an offensive line. But Dave Tepper, the owner there, wanted to sell jerseys. Now you bench him. Even though your head coach said, oh, no, we're not making a quarterback change at all. The next day, what does your head coach do? And Dave Canales makes a quarterback change.
Yeah, yeah.
So that whole outfit is
messed
just
up.
A bunch of misfits, man. So to me, not a big deal. And if I'm Bryce Young, I'm trying to get the hell out of Carolina.
I will tell you it's a big deal from the simple standpoint that if you still have the Broncos -9.5 out there, go grab it. Because last time I checked, he stank. He's not good. And Denver's defense alone should keep the Carolina Panthers to under, like, 13 points.
Not kidding, Zeno. Are the Carolina Panthers
better than
the White Sox of the NFL? Meaning if you bet against them every week, you're making money.
If it's not a double-digit number, yes, bet against them every time. If you don't have to lay double digits, that's why I say if you got a 9.5 out there, go grab it. Because that's the way I would go.
Yeah, they're not very good. Robert Saleh, Jets fired him a couple weeks ago, but it didn't take very long for him to find work. The Green Bay Packers, Saleh was on the Green Bay Packers practice field Wednesday in a new role. Matt LaFleur, who credited Saleh for helping him break into the NFL, has enlisted his longtime friend to help with the team. Saleh spent the early portion of practice watching the offensive side of the ball. LaFleur said, yeah, I think it helps having a defensive mind talking offense and helping us with things he might be able to see, kind of similar scheme stuff, things the defense might be looking for. It helps. They said that his role is, quote, fluid, which whatever that means. Anyway, Ian, big deal, not a big deal. Robert Saleh helping out the Packers.
A big deal, James, because that is a great set of defensive minds. Also analyzing the offense. How would I attack you? Where are your weaknesses? To me, it's a brilliant move by the Packers and Matt LaFleur for a contender in the NFC. Big deal.
Big deal. You want to know why? Because he can go from the bad gangrene to the good gangrene and go win something. Like, that's really, for a guy who is scapegoated. And look, I don't know that Robert Saleh was the right guy to lead that team or that organization. I thought he was really bad with the media, and he stepped in it a lot of times. But, you know, he can still coach defense. And every since he's been there, the Jets defense has been elite. It's been top of the league. So if he can do that to the Packers defense or provide their offense with some cues on how to get around really good defenses, that's absolutely going to make a difference for them. Coming up next, could the SEC be decided this weekend in a matchup nobody saw at the beginning of the season? We'll ask that to Cole Kubrick next. It is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. I am Mark Zeno, in for Amber Wilson.
Kansas
He's Ian Fitzsimmons.
Kansas
State
driving.
We'll follow you out. We'll keep you updated on that and a lot more when we get back. ESPN Radio, the ESPN app.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPNPOD for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNPOD and use code ESPNPOD at checkout.
Let me go to the Waffle House.
There you go. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Don't look now, but guess who's in the red zone?
Come on, Owls.
Fly, Owls, fly.
Here we go.
Our next guest is going to sit here and wonder what the hell we're doing, talking about Kennesaw State Owls football.
Catching 27.5.
That's right. That's the only thing that matters, baby, is points, and that's all we're going to do here. But we are back in field goal range, 21-17 here. For the Kennesaw State Owls, trying to shock the Liberty world. Liberty and freedom are being threatened by the Kennesaw State Owls right now. 0-6 with a 21-17 lead and another first down inside the red zone. Bye-bye. Here we go.
Hey, Cole Kubrick joins us now, as he does every Wednesday when we're not interrupted and preempted by Major League Baseball. Cole, did you ever dream that we would be talking Kennesaw State as you came on the air with us?
Considering the game is live right now, I would have probably have dreamt that would have been a possibility. would I have ever dreamt it possible that you bring me in talking about Kennesaw State while calling pigeons? No, never thought that.
That's an owl, Cole.
Calling pigeons.
No, that's an owl.
Yeah, that's a pigeon.
People told me I did a good owl.
That's true.
It's very training day, right, Cole? It's very training day, you know, with Denzel Washington calling the pitch. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
All right, well, I'll have to work on my owl impression, Cole. I appreciate it.
I've seen Mike Tyson documentaries, okay? I know what pigeons sound like.
That is well done. Interesting to note that we are, you know, week 8 of college football here now, and the SEC does not have a single undefeated team. However, the SEC, at least one half of the championship game, could be decided this week in the matchup we all thought in week 8 that we'd be focusing on between LSU and Texas A&M. So both of these teams lost a non-conference game in their opener. I still don't know how LSU lost to USC because they stink. But nonetheless, I mean, are we underscoring? I feel like we're not talking enough about this game. I feel like we're underscoring the importance of this thing as the winner of this team may be in the driver's seat for the SEC title game.
No, it's actually an unfortunate part of college football this year. This is, I think, really the third consecutive weekend that this has happened. We had two monster games in the SEC last week. Make no doubt about it. Georgia, Texas, Bama, Tennessee were awesome, but nobody was talking about LSU, Arkansas. Nobody's talking about South Carolina, Oklahoma. Nobody was talking about Auburn, Missouri. And even though a lot of those teams weren't going to be going to the playoff, Missouri's still in the race. Auburn needed a win desperately. LSU, as you just mentioned, in it. Arkansas had shown life all year, a dangerous football team. So I think that we've already started to look past some games that we need to be paying attention to on a weekly basis because of where the playoff is and teams that we think are going to be in the playoff or teams that we think are going to win the playoff. But this is one that does have playoff implications and two teams that I think both have a real opportunity. Now, who has a better opportunity? I would probably say LSU because I think their quarterback is just flat out better. Yeah. I love Texas A&M's defensive line. I love what they do to you schematically on defense. I love watching Le'Veon Moss run the football. I think the offensive line's gotten better. They've got a Polish tight end that'll run you over. There's a lot to like about Texas A&M. But LSU's got aliens at wide receiver and a quarterback that can get them the football and an offensive line that doesn't let too many people back there not named South Carolina. So it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a fun game. I think LSU probably has more ceiling because I don't see Connor Wigman playing the way he did against Missouri on a weekly basis, and he was lights out. I mean, his misses against Missouri were about as good as you could have possibly asked for. So I just don't – you didn't see that last week against Mississippi State. You didn't see it early in the season. So hard to imagine you're going to get that every week.
What do you make of what's going on at Alabama? I was just there for, you know, the third Saturday in October, and to me it wasn't as much on Kalen DeBoer and the coaching staff as it was on Jalen Milroe just missing wide open wide receivers. You've watched the tape. What do you think?
One of his worst games that he's played at Alabama, and it's not even missing receivers, Ian. The part of the personality of this offense is him getting downhill in quarterback run. And there were multiple instances in that game that I thought he had a chance to put his head down, pick up extra yards, and he kind of decided to check up, dance, run out of bounds. So that part of their game is different. The noise absolutely affected that team. I didn't think Parker Brailsford altered the snap count as much, and it's not a snap count when you're silent, but when you snap the football in those situations. I didn't think the offensive linemen were coming off the ball at the same time. You saw multiple penalties. So I think that was something that disrupted that group. Thought he forced the ball to Ryan Williams a little bit. I know his receiver coach has come out and said that didn't happen, but that's not the way that I saw it. So I just think it was a lot of mental mistakes. It was maybe, I don't want to say lackadaisical, but just maybe a little bit of going through the motions, thinking that it was just going to work. And there was a time that they dedicated themselves to the downhill run game, and they had it going. And we've seen it for 2-3 plays this year at a time, but you got it for like 7 straight plays, and it was going. And they still kind of didn't stick with it after that. And that's been one of the most frustrating things for me watching Alabama this year. But also, there were multiple big plays that were available there that Tennessee had on their racket and did not convert. So that might be a more alarming to me if I were an Alabama fan than anything else, is that there were probably another 5, 6, 7, 40, 50-yard passes that easily could have been completed.
Cole Kubelik, SEC Network, joining us here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. You know, a year ago I sat here and I thought to myself, what would be the most wild ranked versus ranked SEC matchup I could think of? And, yeah, Texas and Vanderbilt popped right in my head at that point in time. I mean, when did I ever think that, you know, that was right at the top of my list was Texas and Vanderbilt. Now, the question here about Vanderbilt, look, I'm not taking anything away from Clark Lee. He's built a good program. Diego Pablo has been great. But, you know, does Texas have a quarterback issue on their hands the way Quinn Ewers played against Georgia? I mean, I know it's hard to make changes and things of that nature, but just it felt like Ewers came up small in a big game.
If he's not healthy, I think there could potentially be a quarterback problem as to how do you manage who should be playing, because either way you look at it, Quinn Ewers is more capable in that offense right now. Arch can be great one day. He's done some great things already, and I think there will be a time when he's able to captain that ship, and there will be no doubt about it, and I think he'll be spectacular. But Quinn can just do more within that system right now. They didn't protect him very well. I don't think that there are enough shots called down the field. Now, it's hard to say that because you didn't have the time to deliver those shots. I didn't know if there was enough of a commitment to the run game. But when a couple of things that you usually do well are not going your way, it's hard to not start throwing out different things to try. And I feel that's kind of like where Sark got. Now, did he get a little timid, get rid of the ball too quickly? Did he miss a couple? Sure, he did. But that defense was also barreling down pretty quickly. So I wouldn't really blame him all for that. If he's not healthy, then I do think that there are some things to be discussed. If he's close to 100%, I think he's the guy. I think it was a little puzzling the way you brought Arch in. I know maybe you wanted to just try to change some things up. I have that game this weekend, so I'm looking forward to talking to Sark about what his mindset was in that moment. And he's not a guy that would just do that for no reason. And he's not a guy that would do that, you know, because of something trivial. I mean, it had to be a real feel for him and a real understanding of, all right, this is what my team needs right now. But I think Arch is the guy moving forward just because I think there's more in that offense that he's capable of doing more consistently if he's healthy.
So you're saying you would switch to Arch Manning right now over Quinn Ewers?
No, Quinn is more capable right now than Arch is.
Okay. All right. Just want to clarify and make sure people understood exactly what
you
said.
No, Quinn's the guy.
Yeah.
I think maybe I said Arch there, but you know, Quinn Ewers is Texas's starting quarterback.
All right. As far as the undefeateds, and you know, Mark and I were talking about this earlier. Man, there's some teams that are looking at, hey, watch out. A big watch out games, whether it's Penn State at Wisconsin, Illinois, Oregon, or our Owls of Kennesaw State right now taking down the undefeated, you know, Liberty Flames at 24-17 with under 10 minutes to go. Thank you, Mark. Of the undefeateds coming up this weekend on Saturday, Cole, which one are you going, hey, man, watch out?
Just for this weekend or for down the road?
No, just this weekend. To me, it's BYU and Central Florida. Well, Central Florida being a favorite in this game, immense respect for Kalani Sitake. He's an old friend of ours. But, man, Vegas is telling me everything I need to know about that game. For me, it's BYU. Be careful. What about you?
I feel like we get about one of those a year in the bounce house where UCF just feels like they can do no wrong. I'm a big fan of Malzahn. I'm a big fan of the offense. They've got real weapons, and even when KJ Jefferson's not in the lineup, they can get yards on you in a hurry. A dominant run football team. Love the running backs that they bring. Miles Montgomery is 185 pounds. He plays like he's 220. They've got weapons on the perimeter like Kobe Hudson. So I think they're dangerous, but I also think BYU can neutralize a lot of that with a really good defensive line and not have to overcommit all the time. The one that I would give you is probably Navy. Because I think that it's going to be a very difficult task for Navy to slow down the Notre Dame rushing attack. And it's not the same type of offensive line, tight end group that we've seen in the past, but Jeremiah Love is probably one of the most underrated players in college football right now, Notre Dame running back. This dude is just a machine. I think we talk about like missed tackle rate and yards after contact. I mean, he's dominant. When it comes to, he doesn't have the carries that a couple other backs in college football have. And I don't know if Navy is going to be stout enough to be able to hold up to that when you can go plus one and run your quarterback at times as well. So I would probably say Navy would be the team that I'd be concerned most about of the unbeatens this weekend.
Cole, one more here. Penn State takes on Wisconsin. James Franklin has been terrible off a bye. They got a look-ahead spot with Ohio State at home on deck. Is Penn State in danger of losing at Camp Randall this Saturday night?
Well, now he has even more distractions with this post-game press conference today and not answering questions and having to just – it feels like you almost made it more of a distraction than it was going to be if you didn't address it. I think it's a dangerous spot for them to be in. I do think they're a more talented team outside of being on the road. I don't think that there is really a reason that they should drop this game. I mean, you look at just the weapons across the board and what they're able to throw at you outside of Drew Aller, whether he's playing great football or not. We know what Nicholas Singleton and Katron Allen are capable of. Tyler Warren's the best tight end in college football. So, I mean, I think you should be able to go out there and sort of pick your poison and move the ball. And offensively is where I think Wisconsin probably going to run into the most issue. I know they obviously want to spread it out and push the ball down the field. Don't know if they're as capable of doing that as they wanted to at the beginning of the season with their backup quarterback. So, dangerous spot, yes. God, that number you threw out after the bye week was weird. I have not heard that one about James Franklin, but that's crazy.
He's been bad after a bye.
And Ofer against Ohio State and Michigan, we all know that one. All right, Cole, you are a phenomenal dad. Zeno is contemplating dropping $7,000 to take his kids to Game 3 of the World Series in New York. Your reaction?
How old are they?
9. Twins.
They'll remember it. Yeah. Why not?
That was a quick answer, Cole. That was a quick answer on seven dimes, man.
I love it. That was a very quick answer.
Well, listen, I have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4-year-old. My 9-year-old daughter would absolutely remember that, and not saying that's what she would want to do or be her favorite thing. But if we did that, she would be able to recall that, remember that. 7-year-old, some of it. I mean, there's things 2 or 3 weeks ago he did that were pretty cool, and he doesn't always remember them. 4-year-old, no chance he would have any idea that we did it. So that would be a waste of money for those two. 9, yeah, they'll probably remember that. It's Yankees-Dodgers, Ian, in Yankee Stadium in the World Series. It's one of the greatest Yankees of all time. Maybe 2 if Soto ends up staying for a while. You could be talking about 2 of the greatest Yankees ever, potentially. Definitely 1. Is Garrett Cole possibly going to go in Game 3? Is that
no,
feasible?
He's going in Game 1, so...
Okay, so you won't get him in Game 3. That could have been another potential Hall of Famer on the mound. And you're going to potentially be watching a couple of other Hall of Famers on the other side. Some people tell you Freddie Freeman's first ballot. I don't know about that, but he'll probably get in because now we just let anybody who had a good career get in.
Amen.
Mookie Betts
I love
has
you.
A chance to be in the
Amen.
Hall of Fame. Oh. And Shohei is probably the greatest baseball player that's ever walked the face of the earth. Like, you just got your money back right there with my 30 seconds.
Wow. See, I mean, that was signed, sealed, and delivered right there. Somebody break out the Amex. We're getting some Sky Miles out of this while we're at it. Cole Kubik, SEC Network analyst. Appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the Saturday. Appreciate it. Thanks,
guys.
Everything brought to you by the Home Depot. Help cover all your home safety gaps with Kidde smoke alarms from the Home Depot. While we were talking real quick, because I'm a good multitasker like you are, I fired Kennesaw State plus 3.5 here at the outset with 8 minutes left. So we got
did
more.
You
to
live
do.
Wager? Did I you did. Go live wager?
I did, absolutely. We're going to get back to college football coming up next. It's Amber and Ian on ESPN
Are
Radio.
We? Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
In college football, a solid defensive line protects the end zone. And when it comes to fire safety, quality smoke alarms can help you protect your home. That's where Kidde comes in. Their alarms detect smoke over 25% faster, so you can react when seconds count. Plus, they're quick and easy to install, so you can help protect your home turf and get back to watching your team. Defend your game time with Kidde and the Home Depot. How doers get more done. 29% faster average smoke detection based on internal testing of smoldering wood fires for Kidde 9th edition versus leading competitor 8th edition products.
It takes two. In this case, Ian Fitzsimmons and Mark Zeno in for Amber Wilson. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call line, 888-SAY-ESPN. We are presented by Progressive Insurance.
Come on now, and Kennesaw State. Hell no.
It takes two as in two bets on Kennesaw State because I just fired live. Kennesaw State plus 3.5. Oh, yeah.
Watching you hop up and down right now to It Takes Two.
Such a good song. I mean, come on.
Yeah, we were children of the 80s, right?
I know.
There we go.
My name is Rob, last name Bass, yeah.
Have salt and pepper coming up next.
I'm not a sucker, so don't be a bodyguard. Come on, let's go. I'm here all night.
But Kennesaw State, if you are just tuning in, Zeno gave us that at the start of the show damn near 3 hours ago. Kennesaw State at 0-6, hosting 5-0 and undefeated Liberty, plus 26. Steamed to 27.5. We went against the steam, hammered the 27.5, then live wagered on ESPN Bet at 24. Zeno then comes back down and a live wager deep in the fourth quarter here.
I got a number
at
Kennesaw
State plus 3.5.
I got a number I liked. I mean, the situation sets up perfectly because, again, with the amount of time left on the clock, without a broken defense play, that's what would kill me. Like, Liberty would need to go down the field, score a touchdown, tie it up. If Kennesaw goes down the field and scores, I'm still in good shape unless they kick a field goal because then a touchdown would have made it 4, right, on the other end. So these are the scenarios you got to play out in your head really quick, and that all I needed more than anything was
– You're out of your mind.
Was a Kennesaw State stop, and we got it.
We got it. You know,
we got it.
Liberty on fourth down. Doesn't convert. Kennesaw State, 0-6. Again, 0-6, Kennesaw State. And we have been emotionally and fiscally invested in a team where I did not even know their damn mascot. And I cover college football for a living. And as Cole Kublik said, it sounds like you're calling pigeons, not owls, right?
Nobody called in and said, hey, moron, those are pigeons, not owls. I was just like,
Cole drilled it, right? Done.
Yeah, he did.
That's a first down Kennesaw State, by the way.
He absolutely did. I mean, I once he said pigeons, it sounded a lot like it, but regardless,
really
nonetheless, we're in good shape. We are in good shape. And what I'm not in good shape for is paying for tickets to the Yankee game, Game 3 of the World Series.
All right, so what are we doing here?
Everything costs too much right now.
I will not talk to you again until Monday.
Yeah.
Matt Jones is in with me tomorrow. I'm on the road traveling. We have Oklahoma at Ole Miss coming up on ESPN Radio on Saturday. Early kick over in Oxford, which means the library will not be visited on Friday. If you know what the library is, you understand why I will not be going to buy books on a Friday night. Saturday after the game, hell yeah, we're hitting the library. But bottom line is this. What are we doing? Are we spending seven? Cole just laid out a remarkable
argument. Yes,
argument.
Made the case.
He said, "Yeah, he said he would spend the seven dimes for you have twin 9 year olds. That made no sense. You have twins that are 9.
Yes.
So there we go. Let's get proper grammar.
People knew what you meant the first time.
Yeah, I know. But so he laid out a remarkable argument as to how and why it is worth spending $7,000 to go to Game 3 of the World Series. Now, for people who don't know, you are already traveling to see family. You live in Atlanta. You're going to see family in New York. The thing you've been contemplating, do you spend the money on the tickets? After hearing Cole, it looked like watching you're going to do it. Are you?
Again, this is going to be a close to game time decision here, and that's the issue, right? Like, I really got to figure out what, you know, the lay of the land is. You got to, when the tickets are this high, you got to wait till you get close because they'll come down because no one wants to pay that amount of money. So they will come down a little bit. It's just a question of the access and where I can get them and how quickly we're able to do it. So that's really what the problem here is. But Kennesaw State marching down the field here with under 6 minutes left, already approaching field goal territory. Listen,
this is a big part of you paying for those tickets.
Of course.
The Owls. Here we go.
Unreal. Well, again.
Are you going to do it or not?
I don't know yet. Don't put any pressure on me. We're supposed to be friends. You're supposed to be supporting me, not pressuring me.
I am supporting you.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure.
Spend the money.
I think we're going to. But, you know, you can't ever what's the experience thing your mother would always tell you? Don't let an education get in the way of a good experience.